You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
At the outset now again to acknowledge the privilege that's ours here and to thank you for this wonderful opportunity to share in the grand old story that we'll deal with this morning. May the Holy Spirit be pleased this morning to energize us afresh of Himself as He takes of the things of Christ, the living Word, make them apropos in our own life. You take for us now as you give us this blessing. We'll be very careful at the outset to thank you for your sanctifying work to this end, because we ask it in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, to pull our thinking together, you remember that last Sunday we started a teaching concerning the seed of the woman. And we closed with the thought that I ask you to retain in your mind: the tempting of Eve and the testing of Adam. In the reading of our text this morning, we're reminded that there's no temptation taken us, but such as is common to man, but that God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able. But in the temptation, give out a way of escape in order that you may be able to bear it. So that these things that happened in the old economy, as we also read in our text this morning, were written for our admonition, that we might learn to see the pitfalls and the activity of the evil one. As Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices. And so we need to understand these things, and we can't understand them except that the Word of God reveal it to us. Now, in our pursuit of this study of the seed of the woman, we want to look this morning, if you'll turn to Genesis 3, to the procedure of Eve's temptation and Adam's testing. Genesis 3. Now, you'll remember last week, bringing us up to this point, that Adam was created both male and female. That Eve was taken out of Adam. Therefore, the female that was a part of the original Adam became structurally in the body of Eve. We also learned last week that Eve's temptation, wherein she was deceived, was that of an innocent position based upon rationale that we're going to be looking at in a minute. Whereas Adam's testing was in rebellion against God. Hence, it is written, in Adam all die, not in Adam and Eve, but in Adam. For by one man sin entered the world, Adam, not Eve. So that the seed of the woman, the ova, that was taken out of Adam, was kept uncorruptible. For as the poison of death that both drank were destructive to the body, yet the seed of the woman was kept intact. For as the man, the sperm of the man, is that which passes on to every one of us, the seed of death. I'm not a chemist or a biologist, but I understand that the first four cells that come out of the joining together of the sperm and the ova, three of them pertain to the building of the body, the other one has to do with your sex. Now, during the maturing years, only the bodily cells operate to any great extent. And after you reach maturity, it's only the sex cells that operate to any great extent. So that there's a perfect balance in nature. That didn't just happen by evolution, beloved. That happened by design. An infinite wisdom that's far beyond our grasp. Now I want this morning to take the, if we can, for these few minutes, to see the trail of the serpent as he deals with the human race. Because these things were written for our learning. Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices, that there's no testing taken you but such as common to man. So that the things that we're reading about become very apropos to us. We read in chapter 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. That word subtle means wise. And the word serpent is the Hebrew word nachesh. Turn, if you will, hold it in Genesis, but turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20, verse 1 and 2. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. You think that's a snake? No, that wasn't a snake. These are figures of speech, beloved. The word nachesh, which is translated serpent in Genesis 3, literally means the hissing one, the whisperer, the enchanter. That's what the word literally means. And the best way to describe such a creature in the garden, and incidentally, the word beast here is a living creature. Now, the hissing one, the enchanter, was more subtle than any creature of the field. Now, I want you to get into the momentum of things here this morning to appreciate what happened there. This one we're talking about, the hissing one, the enchanter. And as the New Testament says, the angel of light. He was no snake. He was a snake, too, figuratively speaking, but just exactly like the Bible's talking about it. When we read in Revelation 20, that old dragon, that old serpent, Satan, the devil, you know, you don't think he's talking about a snake. Let me illustrate that. We quite frequently refer to ladies as sort of catty. You think they're cats? In fact, the matter is they talk about rich people as fat cats. Now, you know they're not cats. You see, we will not allow God to use figures of speech. And what is a figure of speech for? To lay great emphasis upon some truth. And what better word than a serpent? By nature, notice man's reaction to the serpent, the hissing one. This is no common snake. Now notice the conversation. And you can see where the conversation takes place. Very, very real. All you have to do is just read between the lines, and it isn't hard. This hissing one, this enchanter, this whisper. As God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. I want you to notice the subtlety. Now, the word subtle back in verse 1 means wise. In fact, in reference to this person, 20th chapter of Ezekiel says that this creature was the wisest, the most beautiful creature that ever came from the hand of God. Let me assure you, the figure of speech that men have concocted with red underwear and horns and a tail is a further thing from what this creature is. He's the wisest of all creatures. He's the most subtle. He's the most beautiful. Now, Eve's in the garden, and you'll see where, you'll even see the location where they are in the garden. Satan opens up the conversation with a very innocent word. God said, "You can't eat all these trees." "Oh, yes, 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 we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can." The woman said, "Oh, we may eat of the fruits of the trees of the garden freely. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." The serpent said to the woman, "Oh, you don't believe you'll really die, do you? Why would he say that?" "Well, that old rascal was in the tree. And what do you think he was doing? He was eating of the fruit. And he wasn't dying. He took the poison of death into his body. It didn't kill him." The woman saw it. And notice the reasonableness of this. Look at the rationale behind it. She saw that the tree was good for fruit. How did she know it's good for fruit? He's eating it. Nothing is happening. And that, in fact, the matter is, there he is. And we learn in the New Testament that he is an angel of light. Notice she saw the tree, not only notice the word very carefully, because every word is very significant. When the woman saw the tree was good for food, here you are chomping on whatever that food, I don't know if it was an apple or not, but whatever that food was, the old serpent was really having a feast. She saw it was good for food and was pleasing to the eye. Satan, keep in mind, is the angel of light, the most beautiful creature that God ever created. The wise now. God said he's wise. I didn't say that. He said that. I think Satan's a fool, because his wisdom is corrupted. But I think he says that about me, too, so it's a tie. You see, everything, the setting was beautiful. Not only that, it was a tree to make one wise. Now, Satan had opened her eyes. Look here. Look at the preceding verses. The serpent, "Oh," he said, you don't think you'll really die, do you?" Verse 4. "You don't really believe that old wives' tale." Now, here's why. Notice he goes on to explain why you don't need to believe that old wives' tale. "For God knows that the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as the gods, knowing good and evil." Look at me, Eve. You say this tree will kill you? I'm having a ball here. Is it killing me? In fact, the matter is, look, at the more I eat this here, look how beautiful I appear, my appearance. How wise I am. God doesn't want you to do this, because if you do, you'd be like me. You'd be as smart as God. See how smart I am? Look at the conversation there. She saw this. And here, look at the wheels going on in her mind. Now, God had not said to Eve, the command to not eat of the fruit of the tree was to Adam. She only learned it by secondhand report through Adam. She said, "I can see her reason." No. Must be Adam must have misunderstood that somewhere. Here, that food is wonderful. I can smell it, you know. I can the atmosphere and the beauty of it. And not only that, it makes one wise. I can see that because of the wisdom of this one talking to me. Look how bright and beautiful, how outstanding, what an intellectual he is. You ever been to a meeting and that man that spoke was so eloquent, he just bowls you over and said, "Boy, what a person! I would like to spend some time with him just to have him sit down and let me know what he knows." You see, it doesn't make any sense that they couldn't partake. God said, "You can have all the food, anything you want in this garden. Help yourself. Even the tree of life. What could be higher than that?" You can see the wheels begin to turn now. She said, "You know, that's right. God's being selfish. He's not letting us in on we're working with a stacked deck. You see? That's why we read in the New Testament that the woman was deceived. But Adam wasn't. Only the woman was deceived. But look at the wisdom behind the creation now. How necessary it was that Eve be separated as far as the seed of reproduction from Adam. God foreknowing what would take place. Now Adam comes on the scene. Gets you into the... And it says... "She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her." As we made mention last week where it says with her, there's a Hebrew marker there called a tifka, which calls for a pause. When Eve handed him the fruit and said, "Look here, what a wonderful bargain this is. Look at the wisdom of this and the beauty of this and the wonderful thing." Eve was not aware of anything that happened to her. That little pause in the Hebrew there that you don't have, it's not translated, just means a pause. Just like writing in music, you have a pause. Adam thought, "Well, now, Eve, look at her. The light's gone." Remember, we saw last week that God's clothing is the light. And Eve, when she took of that fruit, she was naked. Adam was aware of that. He paused. It doesn't tell us how long that the pause is, but I can see what went on in his mind. If I don't take of this fruit, Eve will be taken from the garden. She'll die, and I'll be left alone. On the other hand, if I take of it, same thing will happen to me, happen to her. That isn't, yet you may think this is unusual, but in history this has happened several times. Socrates is one outstanding man who literally took poison and drank it into his body. He did it for a cause. Adam did it for a cause, too. That's the rationale behind it, you see. But his, you see, was not... He was not ignorant of what happened. He had it all before him. He knew. His choice was willful and not in innocence. Eve was. God foreknowing that, this is why we have the two seeds. This is why when we read of the outcome, when God spoke, he said to Satan, verse 14, "Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. Above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." The Satan must always gravel in the dust. He will ultimately come before God and gravel. It'll be the greatest humiliation of all history is when Satan has to bow the knee. It is written, every knee shall bow, both the things in heaven and in earth. He will gravel in the dust. He's certain to do that. Now notice furthermore, verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, not the man, the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, not the man's seed, the woman's seed. He shall bruise your head, the seed of the woman. That's and you shall bruise his heel. In Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4. And this is a verse you want to mark down in your studies. And learn it well. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. Well, verse 4 is really all you need. Galatians 4:4. When the fullness of time, or the appointed time, or when time was brought to the full place, God sent forth his Son, made what? Of a woman, made under the law. Here's the fulfillment of what God said back yonder in the Garden of Eden. The seed of the woman shall do what? He shall crush your head. You'll bruise his heel. 2,000 years ago, that became a reality. Satan's head was crushed. His authority was set down. Today, he cannot act apart from delegated authority. One time he had... There are two words... There are more than that, but there are two particular words that are used in the Bible to express power or authority. Prior to Calvary, Satan had a power, an authority that's expressed by the Greek word dunamis. We get our English word dynamite from that. It means power that's inherent. The head again, is a figure of speech. The head is the place where authority arrives. It's the source. At Calvary, the source of Satan's authority was crushed. Consequently, since that time, the authority that Satan has is a different word. It is now the Greek word exousia, which is that authority that is delegated. And that brings us to the testing and the temptation, where we ended our lesson last week. You see, Eve was tempted by the devil. Adam's choice was not a temptation from Satan. It was God's test to see whether or no he would choose God or Eve. He chose Eve. Man been doing that ever since. God understood that, though, because you needed to propagate the human race. You needed to fulfill God's purpose. You see, there's nothing that the devil can do that destroys the purpose of God. It only enhances it. When Satan, through his devices, finally had Christ nailed to the tree, what happened? He fulfilled the purpose of God. The greatest catastrophe in all history was Calvary. And yet it's the greatest blessing in all history. Everything that Satan does turns out to be huff. And it teaches us one thing, or amongst many things, that no created being, be he angel, Satan, human being, can consist apart from Christ. It's impossible. Because he is the source. Notice again, Jesus, and look at the claim of our Lord, which is either true or it's the most blasphemous lie that ever came down the pipe. Jesus Christ, here's his declaration. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the very source of life. He is the source of truth. He is the way. You see? Sooner or later, every mortal must face that fact. He must either believe it or he must reject it. It's that simple. Everything turns on that. Your destiny. Everything. To those who respond to the affirmative, it is written, in him, Christ, dwelleth all, not some, all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There is no other material creature that's God other than Christ, because God is a spirit. Not only does all the fullness of the Godhead dwell bodily in him, but to those of us who have received Christ in the affirmative, the next verse goes on to say, and you, that's you, beloved, you are complete in him. The same two words are used. The word fullness and the word complete are the same Greek word. Notice again. For in him all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells, or all the completeness, if you want to put it. I'm quoting it as it is in Scripture. And you, that have in the affirmative, are complete, full, filled to the full in him. So that everything that happened in the Garden of Eden is for our learning. It's for our admonition. Help us to understand the wiles of the devil, the methods of his operation. And they never change. Always the same. Notice, if you will, hurriedly, we only got 2 minutes because we want to take of the Lord's table in a minute. The attack of Satan. You don't really think you'll die, do you? That's a slander to the validity of what God had said. He slandered God. He said, God's a liar. You don't really believe you'll die, do you? Man still says that in spite of the fact of all those funerals they see every day on the highway. He lives, goes on, and living as if he's never going to die. He hadn't learned that lesson yet. That testimony of that black mirage should wake him up, but it doesn't. But notice the attack, slander. In any other way, God knows that your eyes will be opened and you'll see and be as wise as him. Tradition. Yeah. Satan built a tradition there that stands today. In fact, today, that's what they're doing. They're deifying man. Listen to every program. Man is so proud of what he's accomplished. I listen to the records. These men in public office bragging on their record. And beloved, let me tell you, that's an insult to your intelligence. Man has never done anything he can brag about. Not a single thing. Not a thing in history, anywhere. The only thing that's ever amounted to anything is that which God has energized in certain men. That's all. Instead of giving God the credit, to give the men the credit. That's like taking an automobile out here and giving it some credit of driving itself down the street. See, same thing. Our time is gone. We oughtn't have to stop here. But I hope you can keep these thoughts in your mind, because let me assure you that this teaching on the seed of the woman is not an easy thing to deal with. And I'll try from time to time to go back and rehash so that we don't break our thinking. But this is one of the most important subjects that you'll ever deal with in life. But it shows the handiwork of God. It shows his purpose, his plans. It reveals to us the methods of the Satan's operations. It shows us that it isn't so much what we should do to get saved. It's rather what God had to do in order to make it possible. That's what's important. Father, thank you for the word and this fellowship this morning. May your blessing on extend now as we remember our Lord's broken body and the shed blood that makes it possible for us to be here this morning. Honor this as you sanctify us and cleanse us as a people unto yourself. Bless us now for Christ Jesus' sake. In his name we ask it. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.